Amy Sprague.
Michael Wyatt.
Matt Schwartz.
Jessica Whittle.
John Fink.
Well, welcome, everyone. Welcome back. It's good to
That's
see
you. Justin Davis, sir.
It's good to see everyone.
We got a couple more people like to see you walk
in. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to preempt anyone. Go ahead.
Melinda Lewis.
And Jamin Wells, I'm not on the team, but I'm serving as president of U of F.
Great. Well, welcome, everybody. How are you doing, Jonathan?
Good. You look like you're up in the sky somewhere.
I'm actually floating in air. I have a jetpack on. It's the view's nice from up here.
You would call into bargaining while jetpacking. Yeah. I'm happy to go jetpacking as long as I can continue to log in on Zoom and talk about the nuances of bargaining. Mike, did you guys have anything you wanted to start with today? I know we're just kind of getting started here.
I don't believe we do.
Okay. A couple items, you know, that we were just kind of thinking about. The system that that's worked well in the past with Full Book is each team has just, you know, kind of enumerated all the articles at the beginning that they feel comfortable with status quo, and we reveal those simultaneously, and that helps, I think, narrow the scope pretty significantly from the bat. You guys probably aren't prepared to do that today, but if whenever you guys are ready, we're happy to do that.
All right, thanks.
If that sounds okay, if that process same
problem. Yeah, no, thanks, Jonathan. I think that's an excellent idea. I know we've used that in the past, and it's really been able to jumpstart the negotiations. Lets us, you know, clear out what's not controversial and get us going. So we're not ready to do that today, but maybe the next time we meet.
Okay, that sounds great. We thought, you know, maybe we have a little bit of time to, obviously we're not going to be here for 2 hours, but just to some housekeeping things or some questions, or kind of go over a couple items if that's helpful. One of the things we wanted to ask you about is, we're still getting kind of the final population of our bargaining team, situated, you know, for this. And we were hoping that you guys might take some time either today or at a future meeting to articulate the university's position on who constitutes a bargaining agent for the university, right? Like, Our understanding is that the bargaining agents for the university would be obviously your bargaining team, the members of the board of trustees, president, provost, probably associate provost. That's kind of the general scope of what we think of as kind of like the bargaining agents for the university team. And what I mean by bargaining agents is that for the individuals that discussing or potentially create a conflict of bargaining away from the table, right? But because there's a lot of administrative positions, if the university has a position about other members as bargaining agents, I don't think we've ever had that kind of conversation really at the table. If there's things that you have a position on or want to articulate, we'd be happy to hear that.
I think I understand the question, and I invite anybody on the bargaining team, my bargaining team, to jump in. Although I will say this, I think I failed to have my team introduce themselves. So we can dispel that mystery. So did we?
We said names. Yeah, we had all the names, and we don't have anybody new. We all know everybody.
Oh, okay, good. All right, good. So good. Well, our concept of a bargaining team is that it's obviously much broader than the people who show up at these meetings. So anybody who is contributing to the development of our positions and our policy would be part of the bargaining team. So that could be people who provide support information for us that's operational. It could be people who supply support information for us that's financial. And obviously the president and the provost and some of the people in the provost's office. And then depending upon the type of issue that comes up, the team may add a member because we need that person's perspective or expertise.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this group somewhat clearly defined, to tell you the truth. I mean, we don't have this rolling group of people that are meeting on issues of collective bargaining. When we consider our positions at collective bargaining, it's really the same group that gets together, meeting to meeting to meeting.
And that's helpful. I'll give you an example, right? It's that maybe kind of illustrates the question. We just want to make sure we're not in a gray area, right? So, like for example, this has not happened, but hypothetically, like a dean could be having like an all chairs meeting and say, "Hey, I would like some feedback." Or this happens. Jamie could talk about like in faculty senate a lot. They'll say, "Well, can you give us an update about how things are going on bargaining?" Like an informational thing. Or a dean might ask, "What's the status of collective bargaining? What are you guys negotiating? How are the things going?" And then as a bargaining agent, I want to be sure that I'm not, or members of our team are not saying something that could be misconstrued as bargaining away from the table or providing an update. And so it's trying to get a sense of the university's position about, you know, who, and more broadly, what constitutes in the university's position of bargaining away from the table, those sort of things.
Right, we appreciate that. Are you looking for something definitive from Ms. Jonathan, like identifying that group?
Ideally, that would be helpful, right? You know, of saying, hey, these are the individuals that we've identified. Like, for example, you mentioned, like, you know, for example, Jeffrey came to one of our sessions last time to talk about financial things, right? Or something like, you might say, okay, these are the individuals who aren't on the team, but they're considered bargaining agents. If you have a bargaining agent, you know, we don't want to get crossways of bargaining with across the away from the table.
Right? Yeah, sure, for sure.
Let me give you another example. A few years ago, Matt, you remember this? Before Matt was on the bargaining team, I reached out to him and I said, hey, let's talk. Reach out to kind of talk about some of how things are going on research, what we can do for faculty, get some different ideas. And before we met, I said, Matt, could you double check and make sure that you're not, a member of the bargaining team, and correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but you did. You went and checked, and you said, "Yeah, no, it's fine for us to meet and have kind of conversations about how research is going for faculty at the university, right?" So those sort of things, where it may be a gray area.
Let me get with my team and see what we can do to make that picture clear. And I think. It's helpful for us to understand who is playing what role at the United Faculty of Florida, because, haven't seen this happen at the University of West Florida, but I have seen it in other settings and in other universities where someone might come in and say they represent someone, or someone might come in and say, we want to file this grievance, and we're at a loss as to whether or not that is a grievance that's coming from UFF, or whether it's a grievance coming from an individual.
Yeah.
Whether this person who shows up and says, I'm representing this faculty member, is doing so because they're exercising a wine garden, or right. It's somebody who's just a friend who wants to come in and be helpful. So it does pop up, and I'm sure that Jamie and I'm sure that the provost office would really appreciate very clear, a very clear understanding of who's playing what role.
So on, yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to help address that. On in the grievance article, there's language about the both teams kind of identifying their grievance representatives, right?
Right.
For us, you know, Justin Davis is our grievance officer, right? Justin's who's here today can talk about that. We also, I am also individually authorized to participate or pursue grievances based on our chapter bylaws, UFF bylaws. But beyond that, there are no other representatives. Justin files all the, he's the one who files all the grievances anyway. So there's no cross filing. What will happen sometimes, maybe what happened, Mike, at that other university, is we'll have faculty who will go and they'll, without consulting us, will file a grievance. And in doing so, we'll then kind of ask UFF to sign off on that grievance after the fact, right? And that can potentially, that's a potential scenario like where you're happening. It's not overseen by us. But from our end, the only person, Justin is the only person who files grievance. And I'm also authorized to participate and oversee them, but no one beyond that. Connected to that, we want to also make sure to articulate that Jamin, who is our president, and Justin, who is our VP of grievance, they both attend these sessions, but neither of them are members of our bargaining agents for our UFF. Neither of them are specific bargaining agents, specifically like because they go to faculty senate, they converse and other things, that they're not bargaining agents for us. Our bargaining agents are specifically limited to the members of our collective bargaining team. And we're getting the final set on those, and we'll have those in our next session for you, just to really clearly define who those are for you.
Okay, that would be great. Yeah, because, you know, we haven't had any incidences or concerns that have come up, but it does touch upon a lot of things, touches upon what's confidential and what's not confidential, and who we let into caucuses and who we don't.
Yeah. Well, same thing for us. Like when we have people visit, you know, the session, you know, as well. I don't know of any circumstance, maybe it's just off my radar, of any kind of accusations across the state of bargaining away from the table recently. I haven't heard anything, at least in the SUS system.
I don't think there's anything going on at the moment that I'm aware of. But clearly that has been an issue that has come up in the past. What is within the umbrella of the Faculty Senate versus what's the umbrella of the collective bargaining process with UFF has been an issue at times where it has become an issue at some state universities because the Faculty Senate feels they have some role that's unique in that process. And UFF might feel as if it's a collective bargaining issue because although by and large, everyone understands what their jurisdiction is, it's sometimes there are some issues that bleed into one another. That's something for us too, because we have issues at times where, well, you know, we've actually had some conversations about issues that,
yeah,
whether they go to the Faculty Senate or whether they come to the bargain table is not crystal clear to us.
Absolutely. That's like where sometimes it's potentially a faculty senate could move beyond its role. An argument could be made that they're moving beyond their role as an advisory body, right? But then the other question, you know, is just the standard in across all of Florida, the question about the what constitutes management right versus obligation to bargain and those kind of elements of where they end up.
And you know, I don't recall it ever happened in the University of West Florida, but there have been instances throughout the state university system, as an example, where the faculty senate becomes active in the issue of compensation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how money should be spent, administered in the area of faculty compensation. Yeah. And that's, you know, that gets interesting.
Well, you know, and the flip side, there's nothing that prevents the bargaining teams from soliciting faculty senate or any really anyone's feedback, right? Advisory feedback. I know that years ago when we were negotiating some compression and inversion, you know, we reached out. I don't think I was chief negotiator at that time. This was quite a while ago, but reached out to the faculty senate, maybe the college councils, to provide feedback on structure for calculation of compression and inversion and those things. The other question we had, I think we've kind of just bring to your attention. We know this is on the university's radar, and you guys have communicated with us about this. Is coming up, we have, based on our negotiations, in fall, next fall, the clinical faculty are eligible to go up for promotion starting next fall, right? What we just completed in negotiations, the fall after that, in fall 2024, that's when instructors and lecturers will first start being able to go up for promotion. One of the things that we wanted to just to kind of talk about and bring to the university's attention, which we know they're working on, but to bring it up here at bargaining as well, is that that promotion criteria is going to be fully created by the university, right? That's not a subject of negotiation. As we discussed, the promotion article, you know, designates the university to create that criteria, and we can, UFF can provide feedback, but the university creates that promotion procedure, right? One of the things that we just, for a timeline, something we wanted to bring to the university's attention is that the way that our promotion procedure works for like our tenure line faculty now is that there's a university set of criteria, which is based on your annual evaluations, right? It's just kind of a broader kind of first bar to get across. Within that, then it says departments are, it articulates departments to create what's called enhanced criteria. This is the specific departmental criteria, right? So if you go up for promotion, you have to meet the university criteria, which is like based on your annual evaluations. And then the departments in their bylaws may define, you have to, you know, publish so many articles in so many fields with such level of peer review, you know, that more refined department specific component. And creating that departmental criteria takes time. Right? The university criteria is pretty easy. It's kind of bringing them into that process and saying, okay, you have to get excellent so many times or distinguished so many times. The process of then directing the departments to create that department specific criteria takes time for both the departments to create and for it to be approved through the bylaw approval process, which, you know, quickest would take 6 months, right? If that's included in that process. I'm not aware of the university's thinking right now about how they're planning to structure this promotion criteria. They could potentially structure it outside of this in a different way than this established criteria. However, if the university is planning to utilize a similar structure of broader university criteria and then specific departmental criteria, that directive to departments should go out soon. If they're going to be directed to create departmental specific criteria. So there's time for it to be reviewed and approved for these people who are going up this coming fall and then the fall after that for the instructors and lecturers.
I understand the point. Thank you, Jonathan. Does anyone on my team have any thoughts on what Jonathan just expressed or any insights they want to share? I'm just giving them an opportunity, I guess not at this
point. I don't think so, Michael. I this is Matt. I would just say, I mean, I think that's the point is well heard, Jonathan. And I think that's something that we can and will discuss with the other folks. Yeah.
Yeah, and I should say too, you know, the provost office has been very responsive. You know, we've the language of the CBA says that that UFF has a right to a consultation about these items. So we reached out to them about that, and they said they're working on it and are going to plan to have a consultation with us. But we just wanted to kind of bring that to your guys' attention too, of things, because what we don't want to have happen is this next fall for the clinical faculty, or the fall after that, for the instructors or lecturers when they start to go up, for that material not to be prepared, and then we have to run into a scenario where that would conflict with the CBA, right? Because the CBA says that they're going to be eligible to start going up at that time, right? So that's just trying to get ahead of those things.
Sounds good, Jonathan. Thanks. We appreciate the thought.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, that's basically everything we have. I mean, we don't have any kind of proposals to start with or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm sure you all are, we're watching Board of Governors closely and paying attention to what they're working on post-tenure review, those sort of elements, academic freedom, all of those things. I will say that I think we should commend ourselves as co-bargaining teams, that, you know, we've worked very hard to build a strong structural fair post-tenure review system. We have probably the most comprehensive one in the state with our SPE system. And I know we're looking at that as meeting the goals of a lot of those things as well.
I agree. I think we were ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does anybody on the team have anything that they would like to express before we conclude? Anybody have any issues or business thoughts they'd like to share?
Jamin or anybody or Melinda, anybody on our side, Justin? Okay. So
that means everybody's happy, and yeah. No one has a gripe whatsoever. Yeah. So wow,
yeah. Well, it's like with your kids, when you're quiet, they're quiet because they're happy, or you're quiet because they're really up to something. So just for kind of scheduling wise,
yeah.
We don't have anything pressing on our end that we're, you know, ready to put forward. Whenever you guys feel like you're comfortable identifying, wherever our next session is scheduled for, we'll be comfortable to identify articles that we'd like, you know, as status quo. So we'll just wait for whenever you guys feel like you're ready to, you know, comfortable, ready to do that.
Okay, good.
I haven't talked to the team, but don't be surprised if it's not in November, because between the provost search and
yeah.
the Board of Trustees and the Board of Governors in November, it's pretty booked already.
Yeah, and that's great. If we're going to wait till the first week of the spring semester or something like that, that's fine. I'll miss it, but besides that. I think
that you're ready for it. Jonathan, I will say that we anticipated going through and identifying which articles we would TA, and I did discuss that with our internal group.
Okay.
We will work on that so that when we do meet again, we should be able to get a good list together and make some progress.
Okay, that sounds great. Dan, if I don't hear from you guys in about a month or so, I'll just touch base to see how it's coming, but it's no rush on our end.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. That sounds good. Everybody have a happy Halloween.
Yeah.
I'm wearing this mask on Monday. So if I appear at your door, this is it. Give me candy.
I made the grave mistake of letting my children pick out my Halloween costume. And so it's like this inflatable dragon. It looks like I'm sitting on and riding, which they think is great. I there will be no pictures. There'll be no evidence of this shamefully anywhere. That's what I'm having to do. You have a new little one. Is this the first Halloween or the second Halloween?
Me?
Yeah. That's it.
I think it's second or third for the youngest. They wanted to be. Are we still recording? Yeah. They wanted to be Pokemon. So we have a Gengar and a Pikachu.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we made little costumes out of it. We just got like some brandless hoodies that we sewed some stuff onto. So I will be Snorlax.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. All right. Glad that's on the record.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Jonathan. Bye.